Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. Welcome to the program. Phones are open if you want to join us. The number for you is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And here tonight, it's Ian, and I don't know how to introduce you, so...
Mushmouth Mike.
You choose. Mushmouth Mike is with us.
And Jay Noon.
And Jay is here as well. Jay, you and I were at... Not really your trial today, but you kind of took over the trial because this was for your wife, yep. Shallon. And we've talked about this over the last several weeks on the show, that she's been charged with the nonsense charge of child endangerment for simply leaving the two-year-old, I believe, that you have in the car last year, two at the time, leaving a two-year-old in the car, strapped in, as I understand it, into yep. a car seat. With the air conditioning on what was described as a cool day, or a warm day, depending on which witness that you yeah. you spoke with today.
March 18th in New Hampshire, there was still snow on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons they went into the city was so Cypress could ride her bicycle at one of the city parks because
it was nice.
Well. Because we had just still snow on the ground at our house, but right. It was either snow or mud. You know, there was no in between, and in the city there's a lot of asphalt, and you know the snow's all stacked up in the corners.
You can cabin fever with the kids inside up here sometimes.
I bet. So it was kind of a nice day. You went out. She went out. You weren't there for this, right? You were not present for.
No,
the
I wasn't. No
situation. And she stopped off at a TJ Maxx, went in to, I think, do a return, if I recall
correctly.
Right,
yeah, she had returned something.
That information didn't get out during the trial today because you guys didn't put on any witnesses as the defense, which you're not obligated to do.
Right.
And so I want to talk a little bit about the trial that happened today. We are still waiting on a verdict from the judge, which, in my opinion, is usually a good sign. Generally... You know, if a judge wants to go ahead and find you guilty, they're just going to go right ahead and do that. So the fact that we're not sure yet, the fact that he's taken the matter under advisement is usually a good sign.
It could do it a scaredy cat way. Like they're not going to tell you right then, hey, we screwed up, just dismiss. They want to do it, through the mail.
Well, and it doesn't always happen this way. I mean, sometimes I'm surprised when a judge will go ahead and find someone not guilty in the actual hearing because it always, with a crowd like we had in there today, and there was 30 to 40 people there, and I don't think that includes the kids. I did a quick count when I was out in the hallway before the trial started. And there was a bunch of kids there, but there were at least 35, maybe 40 adults that were at this trial. So large turnout.
I'm not sure I've ever seen so many people in that, you know, galleyway or the hallway outside the courtroom.
I have. I've seen a large number for Footloose yep. and the New Hampshire Nine. There have been yep. some large turnouts for them. Also, Rochelle Kelly, who was another right. parent targeted by the police in Concord for taking her kids to the playground during yep. COVID.
Ademo had a pretty big turnout a few times.
Ademo did too, but yep. at this particular court, this is the Concord
okay.
Court. But yeah, Ademo managed to fill the Manchester court, which is even larger at one point for, I think, his wiretapping trial. That's Ademo Freeman from copblock.org. But the reason why they don't, I think smarter judges probably don't want to issue a not guilty finding right then and there is because you got a crowd full of people who are going to erupt in applause, and they know that there's video, right? Yep. They know they're on the record. Of course, they're always, quote, on the record, but it's different to have the official court recording, which you have to pay $25 to get, and then just anybody who brings in a video camera, as Chris Wade from our show did today. So you get that crowd reaction of applause and, you know, people, you know, exclaiming their excitement, and they don't want that to happen, and they certainly don't want any, you know, normal people to see that happening.
No. So. I definitely don't want normies seeing this. A lot of times when I was in Massachusetts years ago, going to court for all kinds of stuff, it was almost always that my case, whatever it was for, would get right to the very end of the day when the courtroom was empty, or, I would ask them, who's the injured party? Oh, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Well, I'd like to speak with Mr. or Mrs. Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and they just locked me up for today.
In this case, they pulled a sneaky trick. They had scheduled the trial for what's called Courtroom 3, whereas the one we're always in this particular court, if you see any Concord video, if you go to freekeen.com and search for Concord Court, you'll find all kinds of videos of various different trials from this Courtroom 3. Well, Courtroom 3 had a bunch of what appeared to be arraignments. It was probably 24 cases that were scheduled at the same time, 8:15 in the morning, as your wife's case was scheduled. And then before they started the arraignment hearings, like maybe about 30 minutes into them kind of cutting deals with the arraignees, they announced that if you're here for Shaolin Spalding, then go downstairs to courtroom one.
Your own private courtroom.
That was point one. I mean, I knew that what they were doing. They didn't want to have this in front of potentially anyone else. But then when I got down to courtroom one, which I'd never been inside before, because they probably like to have family court stuff in this particular courtroom, there were like, I think literally three benches in the room.
Yeah, it was like...
I mean, I've been in a bunch of tiny courtrooms in New Hampshire because New Hampshire's a small state. There's just not a lot going on here in a lot of cases. So some of the courtrooms are really old. But this one, it's not an old court. This court building's, relatively modern, but it is a small courtroom. There's plenty of room for the judge and plenty of room for the attorneys, but the actual audience area was obviously cut back, and they clearly did it because they knew there was a huge crowd of people that was there for this, because there were at least, like I said, 40 people that were there with kids.
A good turnout.
Yeah, a great turnout. People coming from as far away as Grafton, which is like a two-hour trip. And
there was people from northern Maine right by the Canadian border.
I believe that.
Dylan and Shiloh.
So, that was an obvious move to reduce the amount of potential seating. In fact, one of the goons in the court then used that opportunity once the people were piling in. There were literally people sitting on the floor, I think. Well, maybe not before he said something. So he issued a threat, one of the court goons. He said, if you're here, you've got to be in a seat, or you've got to be seated, or else you're going to get thrown out. I'm going to come after you, basically. And Chris Wade, I think, got most of this interaction on video. So when the video comes out, we'll make sure that that gets included. And so some people just sat right down, just sat on the floor, people with their kids or whatever sitting on the floor. And, I asked the guy if he was going to arrest the children.
That particular guy, you look at him, he's clearly like a very unhealthy man, like his skin complexion, the way he carries himself. Mm-hmm. He's sort of one of these people that he appears to, like me and my wife, especially my wife's like, he just looks like the darkness of judiciary is consuming him.
Mm-hmm. That's what happens.
And that's what happens with a lot of these people. Yeah. And he... Like when the prosecutor was doing his closing statement, this guy was animated with glee. Like he was like just so happy to see that prosecutor in motion. I didn't notice this, but I got this feedback from a couple of friends, and I got a lot of awesome feedback because
you did great
that way. That notice things, and which is going to make us better, at the next particular court thing that we have to do. I think it was a good experience today.
Well, with any luck, this is another one of those things where they're going to continue to leave us alone. Those of us, they know that we'll come here and stand up for one another, and eventually they'll see that, we should just be ignored.
Right.
I certainly hope so. I don't know if we're quite there yet.
No, we're still being targeted. And I actually, especially after today in court, with that first particular witness being the, a career parasite. She works in the, the Merrimack County Prosecutor's Office, the Karen that, starting this whole deal.
By career parasite, Jay means a person that's been working for the government probably most of their entire life.
Yeah, their entire, yeah.
At least the last 20 years, according to her LinkedIn profile that somebody found after she took the stand. I think it would have been interesting to have that information before you were able to cross-examine her.
Just we were having a hard time figuring out who she was, actually. That was one of the ones, because, you know, you get the name and the age. I don't think there was a date of birth for her. But, yeah, we were having a hard time, you know, figuring out, because there's a lot of, I forget her name off the top of my head, but I'll bring it up here in a second.
But her name was Karen. I almost said Karen.
Probably close to it. Maybe Donna.
She totally looked like a Donna, Karen. Right. Yeah, was it Donna? That's right. Wait, did you just guess that?
It was kind of a guess, but maybe he told me earlier.
Okay, we were talking about it in a drive-in.
Yeah.
If you want to comment here on whatever is on your mind, of course, you can bring it up here at 603-283-6160. We've got a lot to say about this. You know, you mentioned the lawyer, and we'll get into it, because I took some notes, by the way. I was tweeting during the trial on Mastodon.
And thank you very much. I sent that that tweet to, like, a whole bunch. You know, I mean, a link to your Twitter profile.
Oh, thanks.
And, yeah, you did a really, really excellent job with that. That was fantastic.
Unfortunately, I forgot my video camera today at home. I brought my tripod. I brought my backpack, but the camera wasn't in it. Luckily, Chris Wade also brings his camera, so we were good on video. So I had more freedom to just hammer out, you know, what was actually happening so people at home who couldn't make it out could still see it. So this prosecutor is this real, he's a young guy, maybe like 30 years old, skinny and just dorky.
Soy boy.
That's a great way to describe it. And just a total tool of the state, this guy working for the Concord Police Prosecutor's Office. There's going to be some great footage coming out when he left the courtroom and went out to his car. He was accompanied by his other buddy. He had some fat prosecutor that was next to him.
That was an intern.
Oh, was he?
Yep. That's what they said.
He seemed like an older guy. But anyway, he...
Oh, okay. Then the intern was not an older guy. But yeah, there was... But the guy that was with him in the courtroom...
That was the intern.
Was the intern. You're saying that was the older
guy? I felt like he was a little older than the prosecutor. Okay, maybe, but I could be wrong. Might have just been because he was, you know, out of shape or whatever. Yep. But anyway, these two prosecutors, they leave, and they've got a court security officer with them. So they were too afraid to just simply go to the parking lot by themselves, which almost everybody does. I've never seen someone get a court escort out of any of these trials. I've never seen the government bureaucrats have their own guys escort them. But that's what happened in this case.
Well, when you're a soy boy, and you know, you're just afraid of what you don't understand. And especially if you're, you know, a weak man that, you know, decides to go work, you know, a weak psychopath that's going to go, you know, work in government so you can go do your psychopath stuff. You know?
Well, he's obviously a friend of the state, right? And he's younger, so he's, you know, public school educated. You know, they have a dossier, or I don't know if you call it a dossier, but like, what do they say when they've come to your place before? Like, you have a compound with a watchtower or some kind of silliness.
They did say compound, yeah. But
right, so,
web compound,
so, so you know, this guy's lapping this stuff up, and at every point, you know, he wants to show that he can, you know, he's not afraid, but he is really afraid of nothing.
Yeah.
So they walk him out to his car, and Joa from Breaking the Flaw, who's normally here on Thursday nights, he's been, I guess, moving houses and has been a little busy recently, so he hasn't been able to make it out. But he was there from the trial. I think he streamed some or most of the trial, and then also he confronted this slime ball attorney.
Breaking the Flaw.
Yeah, that's his channel on YouTube and also Odyssey. He confronted this attorney when he was going out to his car.
I didn't see this, by the way.
Yeah, it was so funny because, you know, he's just doing what he would normally do. Like, how can you live with yourself?
Accountability. You
know? Yeah,
that's what Joa pushes.
That kind of stuff. And, of course, this guy had no answer whatsoever. And then when he finally gets to his car, he, like, is about to open the door, turns to Joa and says something to the effect of, you know, it's a felony charge if you're recording me without my consent. And we both just, like, laugh.
It's false.
Totally
he has to
false.
Know that.
I don't know whether he knows it, but, yeah, you would think he should know it as an attorney who brings these charges against people because, as we learned in the Adamo trial, if you're charged with wiretapping, and New Hampshire is one of the worst states as far as wiretapping laws. Like, we like a lot of things about New Hampshire, but not the wiretapping laws.
That's not one of them.
Yeah, it sucks. It literally is maybe the worst state because here It's what they call a all-party consent, meaning that if you're recording a conversation, everyone has to know and purportedly consent. Things get a little weird in the law about what consent means. But if you're recording a conversation to which you are not a party, meaning you're eavesdropping on something, they don't know you're listening to it, that's felony wiretapping. The other kind of wiretapping where you're party to the conversation, where you're on the phone line or you're in person having a conversation, that's misdemeanor wiretapping. So, like, he got a basic fact wrong about what he was threatening Joe with. Of course, Joe didn't put his camera away or was intimidated by this. So this guy, like, got in his car in a huff, and, like, he was mad. That guy was not happy when he left that courthouse. He was scared and angry when he left that courthouse. And scared for no reason. Like, no one threatened this guy.
Well, he's scared and angry for coming after people for silliness. Like, because ultimately the teeth in this thing is, like, this woman could be in a cage.
Yeah, there's up to a year in jail for this charge. I know people keep throwing around the term 6 months for this, and I'm not sure where that came from, but it's a Class A misdemeanor.
That's what they are asking for, the prosecution, 6 months. 6 months.
Is this in a plea deal offer?
This was a plea deal offer, suspended sentence after 2 years.
I see.
$500 fine and a 10 parenting classes.
Right.
And I didn't look into the parenting classes, but somebody said, oh, I had to do those parenting classes, and it was like, you know, $1,500 for the 10 parenting classes.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, you know, it's just another racket in the system, because the career parasites who, you know, basically mandate that these people go do these parenting classes, you know, are either invested in, or their sister is, or their buddy, or somebody, you know, in that company that owns this, you know, that does these so-called parenting classes, is you know, either giving kickbacks or some kind of bribe to these parasites, or supporting their campaign or whatever. It's all, you know, all kinds of, you know, they're scratching each other's backs. And one of the letters that was written to the judge, and I don't know if the judge saw them, I don't know if the judge is gonna, I don't even know if there was letters in the docket. I meant to go check the docket yesterday, just to see if there was letters in it. But I didn't. But anyways, one of the letters was from Jody Underwood. A lot of people know who she is. She's
a free stater, early mover, great activist who was elected as a school board member up in Croydon, New Hampshire. And there's been some controversy about that.
She's essentially was very instrumental in, like, this New Hampshire, what they call the Croydon Bill or the Croydon Law, where basically you can take money from the public schools and direct it sort of towards private schools or something like that.
A lot of government guys
mad about that.
Oh, yeah, they really hate that. Anyways, in her letter, she writes, it's ridiculous that the state is demanding that, Shallon take parenting classes. What the state should do is send people to Jay and Shallon for parenting classes, because I actually do a real logistic skill building, confidence building, competence building, parenting class, man camp. I mean, that's what it's about. And we do it with parents and kids together, so the kids can grow up to have confidence and believe in themselves and be strong, productive members of society who have value in their community. The state is the exact opposite of all of that.
If you want to comment, you can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. We'll get into some of the things that actually happened in the courtroom here in a moment. But to this caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
Hey, Toby, Columbia, South Carolina.
Welcome, Toby. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
How do you spell Jay's last name? Because I've tried to look it up before. Oh.
Let me give you his website. It's jaynoone.com, N-O-O-N-E, J-A-Y-N-O-O-N-E.com. It's where you can donate to Man Camp, by the way, coming up here at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. I know you said your deadline, Jay, was June 1st. Are you still accepting last-minute donations?
I am. We are just about – we made it halfway to our goal of $5,000.
All right.
Which is a little over halfway. Already spent a bunch of money on some safety gear and some tools for the upcoming Pork Fest Man Camp. And sent me a message on Telegram. He's like, I don't deal with any digital currencies or banks. What's your address? I'm going to mail you some money.
All right, sweet.
We'll see what happens. I gave my address.
That's cool. All right, what about it, caller?
Oh, hey, That's all. I listen to y'all more than I listen to InfoWars now. So
thank you, Toby.
Yeah, thanks, man. Were you just calling to find out, Jay, how you spell his name?
Yeah, I was going to tell you, you're down online, but it's back up now.
Oh, yeah, I noticed that just a moment ago during the show. I appreciate the heads up. We'll see if we can figure out what the hell's going on there. Thanks for the call, man. Thank you, dude. I appreciate that. Yeah, I was actually trying to pull up the notes that I took, and our websites were down for some reason. I don't know why, but it does look like they are indeed back. I was making a bunch of posts about the trial today over at our Mastodon, which is social.freetalklive.com. If you follow me on Twitter, you would have seen them there because they automatically jumped over. We'll talk about more about that coming up here, but let's go to Frank in Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Frank.
Hey, Ian. Hey. Who's on tonight? You and Jay, and is that it?
Mushmouth Mike is here as well.
Hey, Frank.
Oh, okay. I'm not familiar with Mike, but anyway. I got two quick topics, if that's okay. The first one is, what's the plan for the show? I mean, it looks like you're probably going to be incarcerated on your case. What's the plan for the show, when you're gone, if you could tell me?
Presumably to continue. I mean, we don't have any real hard and firm plans, unfortunately, right now, because obviously we don't have Aria for probably the next 18 months. She's going to be checking into a federal prison. We're still not sure exactly where, based on the plea deal that she took with the Crypto 6 case. Folks can go to thecrypto6.com to learn more about all that. And so she's got an 18-month sentence. Maybe she'll be out a little bit sooner because of good time and various programs and such. We still aren't sure how long exactly she's going to be in, but we know what the maximum is. And there's a possibility that I'll be able to stay out after sentencing, pending a appeal. So, you know, I may not have to check in immediately. It may be, you know, another year plus before the case actually gets its appeal hearing with the First Circuit Court of Appeals. I get to appeal because I went to trial. You don't get to do that if you take a plea deal. So that's what we're hoping for. It seems likely, considering I've been allowed to stay out post-conviction. And normally when you get convicted, they just cart you right off to jail right then. And then you wait in a local jail before they finally will sentence you. So normally if you're out pre-sentencing, it's pretty unusual. So the fact that I'm already out pre-sentencing suggests there's a good chance the judge will continue to let me stay out post-sentencing. But he could change his mind. So
I hope it stays that way. There's no business for you to be in a cage.
Yeah, so who knows? Does that answer your question?
Okay. Yeah, it does somewhat. I wouldn't plan on being free during your appeal, however. I'm sure you're not. I'd be prepared to be incarcerated the date of sentencing. But, I mean, obviously you're hoping for some freedom during your appeal. But, like you said, they can do whatever they want.
Yeah, and it is very unusual to be out pending an appeal. There's no doubt about that. Did you have anything else you wanted to share?
Just real quick, Bonnie called somebody stupid on the air last night, which I probably isn't a good thing for a radio host to do. Might want to think about that a little bit in the future.
All right, thanks for the call tonight, Frank. I appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. Yeah, I think I heard she got a little bit upset last night, and people are going to say things that they don't necessarily mean when they're mad about things. More coming up. Free talk.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA News Update. The Senate is rushing to pass the debt ceiling bill. Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says they will stay in session until it's passed.
Time is a luxury the Senate does not have if we want to prevent default.
A vote could come as early as tonight. Journalists who work for media giant Gannett, which owns the USA Today and hundreds of local newspapers, plan to go on strike next week, citing gross mismanagement by the company's CEO. The union wants Gannett to issue a vote of no confidence in Mike Reed. They claim he doesn't see the long-term value of investing in journalists. The NBA Finals begin tonight. The Denver Nuggets will host the Miami Heat for Game 1 in Denver this evening. The Nuggets are making their first ever appearance in the NBA Finals after beating the Lakers. The Heat are set to make their second appearance in the NBA Finals in the last 4 years after beating the Celtics. John Schaefer, USA News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join the show if you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Joining you here tonight, you've got Ian.
With Mouth Mike.
And Jay Noon.
And also want to say thanks to Scott, who's a Free Talk Live Gold level supporter of our AMPS program. Scott is gold, which means he's doing $10 a month. Thank you for the support, Scott. AMPS stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. That is a way for you to get directly behind what we do here on Free Talk Live and help get the word out about freedom and liberty and peace and cryptocurrency, alternatives to the violent status quo that we have. We're talking about that status quo tonight in the form of the government attack against Jay's family, specifically a criminal charge being brought against his wife, Shallon, for the dastardly crime, supposed crime, of leaving their then 2-year-old in a car seat in a climate-controlled car on a relatively nice March day last year, that she is facing up to a year in jail. I know the prosecutors offered a 6-month plea deal on that, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's what they're going to ask for when, if it comes to sentencing, if right. There is a guilty finding on this. It could be up to a year because it is what they call in New Hampshire a Class A misdemeanor. But anyway, if you want to go and help us out like Scott has done, go to amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. You can get signed up there with your debit card, credit card, your PayPal account, and we definitely appreciate the support. Now, Jay, you were saying during the break, and I know you wanted to mention this on the air, that you didn't feel like what happened today could happen anywhere else besides New Hampshire. The huge level of support that you had turn out, but what else?
Well, so we have the community. So all these people come, and
filled the courtroom.
Filled the courtroom. There was a bunch of moms with their kids because, and they're all, you know, freedom type moms. They're all freedom type people. Actually, all of these people are, you know, sort of like into what's called New Hampshire health freedom. One thing that the plandemic has done is it really activated moms. I mean, moms in the past couple of years have become like, you know, the freedom fighters, the freedom pushers, because moms care about their babies. Sure. And it's like all the anti-mask and mandate rallies and all this stuff. It was like half to three quarters moms, all the ones I went to, because the moms are just pissed. And I've been calling them red pill moms. Anyways, so you had all these moms there. And so we had the support, and then we had a whole bunch of people there, like the one woman that was there that she came out to lunch with us afterwards. You know, the shorter lady, I forget her name, but she used to be a DCYF social worker.
Really?
That was her career.
Wow.
And she very much is turned off by DCYF, and she had so much great knowledge. And so, like, for her, another guy, Brian, was there, another guy, Ted. These guys are, like, sort of, like, practicing sort of law scholars and not really lawyers. But, like, all these guys took notes. And so I had a whole stack of motions that we were going through.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did last night is I made copies of a bunch of motions, and I just filled up three binders with all the court paperwork that we were going to hear. And I gave it to, like, this guy, Brian, another guy, Ted. I forget who I gave the other packet to. But I'm like, hey, guys, you know, you're paying attention to this stuff. You understand the case. Take notes for me. Take notes on these pleadings. Help me out. So I got a lot of really good feedback, and we're actually next week we're going to do a night where we study this stuff and we go over it, because one of the things that we're planning on doing is an invitation only at first weekly study, like law study group at an undisclosed location, because we want to keep the feds out, and it's going to be to help people build their confidence for this kind of stuff. And this, too, needs to be part of the Man Camp curriculum, because every adult, everybody who's of the age of procreation needs to know how to defend themselves in court, needs to know how to write lawsuits, just like they need to know how to raise their own food and, you know, take care of business and, you know, fix their own stuff.
I wish it weren't that way, because it's, you know, sucks to have to spend time on court things when, as you pointed out, you guys are farmers.
Yep.
You know, you got a lot of work to do, and the
real
last
work.
Thing you want to be, yeah, the last thing you want to be doing is putting your nose to the grindstone as
yep.
far as court filings and stuff like that. I mean, it really sucks to have to learn this stuff, but you're saying you should learn it because you don't want to be defenseless when they come at you, and you don't want to have to rely on one of their attorneys. And when I say one of their attorneys, I'm referring to the fact that all attorneys, as nice as they may be, or as talented as they may be, or as freedom-friendly as they may be, they are all court officers. They are all swearing an allegiance to the court system in order to become attorneys in the first place.
And the Bar Association.
Yes.
Erwin Rommel School of Law was a thing that my dad studied years ago, like back in the 80s when he was facing you know, federal charges. He was facing, my father was facing 15 years in a can when I was like 8 years old over something he had actually nothing to do with whatsoever. It was something that his brother had done, my uncle. Anyways, so like he did your own Erwin Rommel School of Law course and study, and what they said was that the courtroom's a battlefield, the prosecutor's your enemy, the judge is your enemy, and your attorney is an enemy spy. And that was the way they put it, because the attorney's allegiance is to the Bar Association, is to the court. This is why one of the reasons we didn't have an attorney, because all the attorneys I talked to were like, I'm not going to challenge the jurisdiction of the court. I could possibly lose my license.
Right.
And so that's one of the, you know, biggest things we push. But anyways, back to New Hampshire. So we got the community. We got people that moved here intentionally for this kind of stuff, to support people like me, to support people like you, to support freedom in general. They picked up their lives and they moved here. So if you can pick up your life and move to New Hampshire, well, it's pretty easy to just drive, you know, 15 minutes or maybe 2 hours to the courthouse to go support somebody if you already moved here, say from California, for example. The other thing that's unique about New Hampshire with this particular charge, a Class A misdemeanor, which is, you know, like you said, up to 1 year in prison, and I think up to a $2,000 fine. But what's cool about it is you get a bench trial in front of a judge, And then if you get convicted, you can appeal the bench trial, and the case starts totally over again.
Yeah, it's called a de novo trial. I wish that the federal system had that.
Right. So what's really cool about a de novo trial is you try over again. So today,
you get to see all the evidence a second time.
Today's thing was like an excellent practice.
That's all it was, yeah.
And it took me a little...
It's a practice you could win. If you get a not guilty, then
right.
Done.
I mean, so actually, the very first meeting that we're going to have is we're going to have people that are going to... We're going to do a whole role-play script where they bring forth the witnesses, and we have people in the courtroom that are going to come to our law meeting, and one of them is going to be, for example, you know, the Donna Parente, you know, the career parasite Karen, who, you know, basically reported this.
And I snitched.
And I believe it was because my wife's car had a Health Freedom New Hampshire sticker on it and a Montana plate that said free. Because... Basically, if you're on the soil we call New Hampshire and you're running Montana plates, you're a free stater.
Good chance of it. Yeah.
And actually, that's not really even true anymore because I was in a, where was I the other day? I was in Massachusetts. I brought a load of cows down there and we stopped at a place and a guy says the truck I had has got a Montana plate on. He goes, oh, he goes, you're not from Montana, are you? I go, no. He goes, me either. But he goes, boy, I love that permanent registration. Yeah. And this was down in Massachusetts. Because, and the thing is, too, is that's a service.
Yeah, it is.
For example, you know, from the state, and the state being this, you know, legal fiction, selling these plates to people. And it has been ruled time and time again in court, and it's gone to federal court, that nobody can be forced to buy essentially license plates and registration from a particular jurisdiction. Because that would be considered a monopoly. So anyways, it's a pretty good case law. And I challenged that a lot in Massachusetts years ago because I ran New Hampshire plates and I ran, Maine trailer plates. And I never had anything registered in Mass ever. And, you know, I lived there for, you know, until I was 35 years old. And they tried so many times coming after me against that. And it got, you know, basically dismissed very quick because there's so much court precedence on this. Anyways, going back to that. So, bench trial, because we get the jury trial as a basically a fallback on,
right?
So you get to build the confidence, you get to increase your competence,
and you get to see their whole case
being in the courtroom.
So they have to put on all their witnesses, ask all the questions,
right.
Go through all the motions, show all the evidence, and so then you know, if you made some mistakes, you get to correct those mistakes next time around.
Can you imagine playing the the football game, getting a do-over again on a football game, right?
Yeah.
That you lost. And now you know how the other team works. You know what they're going to bring out.
That's sweet.
And there's, like, so many more, like, things now. We know what we need to cover.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we have a really good game plan, and we're going to practice the game plan. Just because, like I said to my wife, I go, hey, 2 days a week, find a babysitter. I told her a few weeks, you know, for the next 8 weeks. She goes, well, what if we win a court case? I go, it doesn't matter. If we win the court case, we lose the court case, we're still going to do the same thing. We're going to do a weekly study with our friends. So those people, that courtroom jam-packed with people, I have tons of volunteers who want to come to, like, this, you know, these legal group meetings, and they're going to act this all out so we can do this. And what we really want to do is invite mothers to this, because mothers are very, very concerned about this particular situation. A child endangerment thing is just like a catch-all they can throw at anybody, and 99% of the people are just going to give up.
Sure,
they're just
going to
go
expect.
Get an attorney. They're just going to do a plea bargain. They're just going to contract with Division of Child, Youth, and Families, who are basically a bunch of professional child traffickers. And they, in New Hampshire, they've paid out well over $100 million in settlements. It's actually probably close to $200 million in settlements now with all the people who
have Sununu Rape Center.
The Sununu Rape Center, where they've been raping children for years.
Yeah.
So, that's cool. We got the community. The community is the foundation of everything. And the community gave Shallon and I a lot of confidence, where everybody's like, yeah, you go get them. We're going to help you out. People have all kinds of ideas. The other thing that we got to do that's pretty unique in New Hampshire, you could never do this in Massachusetts. I don't know about anywhere else, but you definitely couldn't do this in Massachusetts, is I was able to literally be my wife's like an attorney.
Right.
I said, I'm not representing my wife because the word represent means represent. And my wife is like a very nervous public speaker. I mean, she couldn't even, you know, get through her speech at our wedding, you know, in front of a whole bunch of people who love her and are very friendly. Never mind,
yeah,
you know,
it's nerve-wracking.
Never mind, you know, trying to explain something and public speak in front of a whole bunch of people who literally want to put you in prison.
Right. And you're up against this guy who's a professional whose job right. it is there to destroy you, basically. The pressure is really on in a situation
and,
like
and,
this.
And if you want to look at, like, you know, the value in dollars of, like, you know, my net worth in dollars, let's just say dollars, versus the education cost that these lawyers have, their law school probably costs more than if you took my net worth and added it up.
$500,000
sure.
a piece or something.
Which they're probably still paying on.
Now, that's in dollars, but I know that my value as a man in our community, as a father, as an influencer, as, you know, someone who wants to make the community, is a million times the value of that prosecutor to society, because that prosecutor does nothing to promote society. He is just a parasite. All these guys do is yep. steal with paper and pen. And anyways, so getting back to why New Hampshire is so awesome is we could do the, I think they call it an attorney in fact.
Correct.
So
yep.
all I did was have to go literally fill out a form. It was probably the shortest government form I ever filled out in my life. And it was simple. It was like, yeah, I just put my name on there. I put my wife's name. I put the case. And we did that. Another really cool thing.
Before you go on about that, though, this particular judge seemed to be giving you guys more leeway than I expected from a typical judge. And I wondered if that somebody said he apparently is a new judge who came out of the not the prosecutor's office where most judges come from, but he was with the public defender's office. So he's actually seen the other side of defending people who are being, you know, wrongfully prosecuted. So I feel like he definitely was more helpful than the typical judge would be. There were certain times where he literally held your hand and gave you direct suggestions.
Yep, he was really good.
How to phrase questions and things like that.
Yep.
And no judge is obligated to do that level of assistance for, you know, pro se litigation. And
I've seen at least two other judges the same way.
Yeah,
my wife
it's
had
not
one
unheard
for
of.
The dog license thing, and
yep, I remember
Mikey
that.
Had one for his motorcycle chase
they
thing.
They tend to
that's
be help, more
help a lot.
Yeah, they tend to be more helpful towards people who aren't lawyers. That much is definitely sure. true. This guy seemed to be bending over backwards.
We're a long way from Burke, though.
Yeah, you're talking about the old Keene.
Yes,
but you know, some judges might have said, well, Mr. Noon, I see that you want to, you know, represent your wife here or act as her attorney, in fact, but you would have had to file that motion 2 weeks ago. I'm sorry, it's just too late. We're going to move forward. And then he said, no, it's fine. You can just go out, fill out this one piece of paper. I'll take a recess, and then we'll move forward. So I was really surprised that he just let that happen the way that it did, and he didn't, like, make you put a suit on, because they can do that if they want to. They can say, well, look, now that you're an attorney, because you are the attorney in fact, meaning that you then have to follow all the attorney rules, which includes, like, a certain dress code
yep.
and things like that.
I literally wore my
they
best shoes.
Had the duct
shoes.
Tape on them?
No, those shoes totally fell apart the other day. And I haven't had time to go buy a pair of shoes.
Yeah.
I literally have been, like, nonstop, you know, 16 to 18 hours a day just yeah. at it, doing something. In fact, I didn't go to sleep last night.
Oh, yeah, you're preparing, man. They're coming
after
your
preparing.
Wife.
We were working on this paperwork. I call it grinding. So as a metal fabricator, you know, you might do, like, on a project that's a 30 to 40-hour project, you might do, like, maybe 3 hours of actual welding, but you will do 25 to, you know, the rest of the hours is grinding, mm-hmm. you know, making it smooth, polishing it down. So I was grinding on paperwork. That's what I call it.
Yeah.
And not grinding like in a nightclub, grinding like, you know, a roughneck in an oil field.
Yeah, so this guy is still there to carry water for the state. That's obviously his job. That's who pays him. That's where he gets his paychecks from. So he still denied all your motions and was still ruling, you know, in favor of the state here and there. But he actually gave you some of the objections as well.
So he read all the motions,
yeah,
which he said he did, and he denied them. And I objected to it. So all of this stuff is preserved for appeal because I actually have some pretty strong motions. Yeah, some of them weren't filed in time. You know, a bunch of them I filed yesterday.
Right.
But here's, I'm going to read a little bit of one of my, a motion for more definite statement, just a, one paragraph. The alleged defendant is not a trained or licensed attorney, nor a member of the American Bar Association, nor a member of any subsidiary bar association, as this special pleading must be held to less stringent standards than formal pleadings written by lawyers. And that's Haynes versus Kerner, 404 U.S., if anybody wants to look that up. So when you put pleadings into the court that have this kind of language, these guys know they can't hold you to this, and you're informing them that they can't hold you to these, you know, particular levels of an attorney. And so, and yeah, like there was a couple of things that like I did not know what I was talking about, and that judge was fantastic. But and you know, kudos to him. He was like, well, sir, if you want to explain this, here is an example, and he talked about.
And this was, by the way, after you asked him to recuse himself.
And that's another thing, too. So asking him to recuse himself, you're like, I was a little concerned about that because you might just really, you know,
take it personal,
upset the guy. And I think he wanted to prove that he was, like, honorable. And in fact, I didn't call him Your Honor once. I usually don't
do that.
And
I never do it.
Because I feel it's like, you know, bowing down to their, you know.
Yeah, it's a high title. But we're all men. We're all equal.
I think the guy was honorable.
In an ideal, like, if this were a good thing, where we needed, where we did have these judges and they were moral, wouldn't it make sense that they would want to prove to us that they were honorable?
So if the purpose of government is to maintain and protect the rights of the individual, that's the only reason government exists in the United States of America.
So they claim.
Well, that's what all their documents say, all their founding stuff, all the constitutions that these guys allegedly have an oath to. And he did have an actual updated oath of office, and you know that was checked out. So one thing in Massachusetts, we could never get the oaths for any of the judges. And then when we finally really pushed them hard, the oaths are held in the Massachusetts Supreme Court, which is in Boston, which is called the John Adams Building. So we got certified copies of the oath cards. None of them have a signature.
Huh.
And there's like a Massachusetts statute, MGL Chapter 238, Section I forget whatever, and it clearly says all oaths must be signed or subscribed before they can hold their position. And it's not, you know, Massachusetts.
Of course.
So the other thing, too, that happened in this case that was very unique, the second thing I don't think could have happened anywhere else, is two of my friends were able to sit on my side of the bar.
Yeah, I was surprised by that, too.
So my friend Colin Gibson, who Colin's going to come do the show someday. He's, he's an interesting character. If you guys want to learn a little bit about Colin, just internet search freedomsphoenix.com, Colin Gibson. He did a really good interview with Ernie Hancock a few years ago. And Colin's a real smart dude.
Yeah, sure.
And the thing is, nobody thinks Colin's smart because he's a goofy guy. And
he's always cracking jokes.
He's like a teenager, but he's a super smart dude. And then my other friend, Christopher Gronsky, who I've talked about quite a bit, were very handy in helping me. And the prosecutor was not happy those two guys were there.
Oh, he objected to it.
And the judge was like, well, and I explained to the judge, I actually, I have one of the motions we never even touched, and I totally forgot about it because I just didn't have it in front of me, was I did file a motion last week or the week before about a motion to counsel at my election, and I get into the court rulings how, you know, a counsel does not have to be a lawyer or an attorney. When the founders wrote the Constitution, and even the Constitution for New Hampshire, the Constitution for the United States of America, both say that you have election at your of counsel at your choice. They use the word counsel. Counsel is a generic term. Counsel can be your mom, your friend, your pastor, whoever you want it to be. It does not have to be a member of the Bar Association. And they know this, but they really try hard pushing that. So I believe because I put that in the pleadings also was another reason because I said, these guys are my assistants of counsel. We need help. I said, I'm a farmer. I need help from friends. And so the fact that we have that quality of people here for this Free State Project, like Colin and Christopher, they both moved here for this intentional. Actually, I believe Christopher moved from Washington or out west somewhere, but they moved here intentionally for this. So that was great. The other thing that
And by the way,
okay, go ahead.
What was unusual to me about that was how many people they allowed sort of behind the bar on your side. Normally, you can have one person sitting up at the table with you. It's not a problem. You know, if you were sitting, if you weren't acting as the attorney in fact for your wife, you still would have been able to sit there. You still would have been able to confer with her as yep. her counsel, but you wouldn't have been quote unquote representing her. And so that's always been something that's been allowed. And it doesn't have to be somebody you're related to. It can be a good friend of yours or whatever. But if they want to take the next step, they can do what you talked about earlier, is become the attorney in fact and then actually be the attorney for you. And anybody who's a good character, quote unquote, can do that. And one of the reasons why I was surprised they allowed it today is because they usually have to like do some background yep. checks. In fact, the prosecution noted that when he objected to it, saying, "Well, we haven't had a chance to do a background check on Mr. Noon, but well, we'll let it happen."
What would they be looking for?
Criminal record, something that would show that you're not a good character.
You got sort of was like three things to check off on there: that you haven't been convicted of a felony. Mm-hmm. That you haven't been basically kicked out of a courtroom or something. That's not the terminology. Okay. But basically, you haven't been barred. Actually, that was one of the things. You haven't been barred from being like the attorney effect, I believe.
I see.
Sort of how it worded. And there was one more like thing you had to check off.
There's another requirement that you can't do it more than like six times in a year, I think.
Okay.
If I recall that correctly. It's been a while since I've seen the requirements. But, yeah, as long as you meet those requirements and you're willing to sign off and follow the attorney rules, then you can
nervous about the attorney rules because he's like, you're going to be held to the same standards as an attorney.
And then he didn't hold you to the standards.
You're going to follow the rules. Well, he provided good guidelines.
Yeah.
So when I started going outside the rules, he just corrected me,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which was like, the guy's just doing his job.
Yeah.
You know? I was, that was pretty cool, I thought. And,
right.
And he basically pretty much acted the way within his guidelines and pretty much within the scope of his duty, even though I, you know, wasn't happy that he dismissed all these things and he pushed the trial right to that day.
Yeah.
But also, it wasn't like it was the last, you know, hurrah. We still could have a whole nother trial going forward, because one right. of the motions I did was, to secure our right to a trial by judgment of our peers.
Yeah, exactly. So the fact that he let you have two other guys back you up in the court, and as he said, he's fine with them whispering in your ear during the trial, and he almost used the justification for it as the fact that the courtroom was full. Like, well, we got to have a seat somewhere, so they might as well just sit up here. He actually used that as sort of an excuse to allow that. So, yeah, you're right. There was definitely a lot of leeway given today, and you think that none of these things, or you know, certainly not all of these things combined, could have happened anywhere here except for here in New Hampshire.
Yeah, that's my opinion.
Great point. We got more coming up here. We can talk actually about what transpired at the trial.
Yep.
I don't think we've really broached that subject. And if you want to weigh in, you can join the show. You can bring up absolutely anything that's on your mind. I have no idea what's in the news today because, like, I was at this trial and it went
this
for a while.
This wasn't in the news.
Yeah, for sure. I should be in the news.
It wasn't in the news.
There's more coming up.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling 3-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on 3-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A 1-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit ShopSuperTea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.